The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Senator from Boone and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day of breath, life, and hope, the hope that is only found in you. As we come together today to begin this special session, may we be reminded of the burden of responsibility that is upon us, to make decisions that are in the best interest of the state and its citizens, and to treat each other with respect and civility as we deliberate on these decisions. Today we seek after the wisdom sought by King Solomon in Scripture, to have the insight to discern right from wrong and the foresight to see how decisions today impact realities tomorrow. May we approach the business of these next days without a trace of pride or vengeance, because you've told us in the Proverbs that when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Give us patience, humility, and wisdom as we do the work before us. This is our prayer. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Krauss, Libela, Munzlinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schaff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Wieland.
Senator from Butler. I'm here. Senator from Butler's here. Senator from Green. Senator from Green is here. A quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the body, Carolina Brigigo from KOM 8 News has been granted permission for photos and video in the Senate chamber, as well as Robert Cohen with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, as well as Nadav Storker with the Columbia, Missourian.
That will be noted.
Mr. President, would you inquire the Secretary if there are communications from the Governor? If so, I'd ask they be printed in the Journal.
There are communications with the Governor. They will be printed in the Journal.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order business of resolutions.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of resolutions.
Mr. President.
Resolution. Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
I have a resolution.
Please send your resolution
forward. I am sending it forward. This resolution, for the benefit of the body, is the duly convening of the session. And it has been distributed. I would ask for a waiver of the rules in order for this resolution to be adopted.
And, Senator, are you requesting the adoption to be adopted?
Yes. Yeah, I move for the resolutions adopted. It is the one that says first extra session on it. I'm sorry, Mr. Okay. President.
Resolution number one, hearing no objection, the rules will be waived. We are now on Hearing no objection of the reading of the resolution.
I take, Mr. President, I've been informed there is no need to waive the rules for this particular resolution. I would just move for its adoption.
All right. Resolution number one is before the body. The senator from Cole has moved for the adoption. Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator from Cole, you are recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The senator from Cole moves that Senate Resolution number one be adopted. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted.
Mr. President.
Senator from Cole, a purpose you rise.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution.
Please send your resolution forward.
I am sending it forward. The resolution has been distributed. I move for its adoption. For the benefit of the body, this is the resolution that would adopt the rules of the 99th General Assembly.
Hearing no objection. The reading will be waived. And, Senator, so I'm clear, you did move for the adoption.
I move for the adoption, Mr. President.
All right. So on resolution number two, does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard on the adoption of resolution number two? Hearing none. Senator from Cole, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Cole, it moves that Senate Resolution number two be adopted. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted. Senator from St. Francis, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have a resolution.
Please send your resolution forward.
And I ask that it be printed in the journal.
Senator, it will be printed in the journal. Introduction. Oh, Senator from Buchanan. What purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution, and I request that it be printed in the journal, and I would like to explain it.
Your resolution will be printed in the journal, and do you care to explain your resolution?
Yes, Mr. President. On the last day of our regular session, it occurred that there were members seeking recognition during the a point of order, and they were not recognized. And so this rule change would simply say that no decision on a point of order shall be made until every senator wishing to speak on the point of order has been recognized by the chair and had the opportunity to do so. That's what it does. Thank you.
Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield to inquire from the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, you and I have talked offline quite a few times about the things that happened on the last day of our regular session, and I thought that we needed to maybe, you know, have a little bit of a discussion about those things that happened.
I agree. I think that in order for us to move forward in a productive way, which I think everyone in here wouldn't have come back to Jefferson City to do if we weren't intending to do so, I think it's important that we reflect a little bit about what happened on Friday, the last day of session. And it's real easy in that moment. So that was my fifth end of day, last day of session since I've been in the Senate. And it never fails that some folks get last day fever. And that last day fever takes over and they stop thinking with the future in mind. And they start thinking that if this bill dies today, that it's dead forever. And they start making decisions that fever takes a hold. And then they're doing things that could potentially be out of character. And we've seen that a couple of times in a couple of instances throughout the last few years, but certainly on Friday. And I think that we need to discuss what happened to be able to move forward. And let me tell you, in my eyes, what happened on Friday that was the problem as I see it. We all knew that minimum wage was going to be a tough piece of legislation to move through. We knew that there was entrenched sides that were not going to find a peaceful resolution. So the majority, using the rules available to them, were going to call the question and essentially bring force a vote on that legislation. And that wasn't what's extraordinary. But what was extraordinary was when the bill was brought out, a floor sub was dropped. And in this floor sub, Mr. President, I get some mortar.
I think it's Senate, the Senate will come to order so the senators can hear one another in debate. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. This is very important for us to understand. So a floor sub was brought out without any explanation and immediately went to the previous question motion. There were no questions allowed to be asked. There was no discussion on what was in the floor sub. And it wasn't like this bill had already been voted on previously. This was a brand new set of language that nobody, to my knowledge, had seen. And yet we went right to moving the previous question on it. Now, in a Senate, that is a problem. In the House, they don't have floor subs in the House, but in the House, they may bring up language that nobody's seen and move the question on it, and it's not extraordinary. But in a Senate, the act of moving the previous question in and of itself is an extraordinary event. The fact that you drop a floor sub and not allow discussion or even an explanation on what's in that sub is unacceptable.
I myself was feeling quite a bit of anger at the time. I look up and I see the words, "free and fair discussion will ever be found the firmest friend to truth." And there was a floor sub dropped. Who knows what was in that floor sub? I remember when Senator Loudon offered a floor sub and it legalized midwifery in the state.
I think it was tocopology or...
Right, tocology was in there. And, you know, a floor sub could literally have had anything in it. And every member of this body ought to be very, very concerned about a floor sub being dropped with no explanation or discussion and then immediately moving to a PQ. That is not okay. What happened?
Now, I want to talk about one more procedural issue that happened on Friday. And this isn't a hostile inquiry. This is just for the record, for the body's edification. We need to understand how we can do better at these procedures. So there was a point of order raised, and I know your rule change deals with every member being able to be recognized during a point of order. Now, Rule 77 says that... Rule 76 talks about a senator who is seeking recognition shall be recognized. There's no pre-qualifiers for rather you shall be recognized. The only question then dealt in Rule 77 is if two or more senators are seeking recognition, which one will the chair call on? Now, it says that they will call on the senator who wishes to speak first, and then the one who is seeking the other one seeking recognition will have preference to speak second. However, nothing in this rule shall be interpreted to prevent any senator not chosen to speak first from immediately making a motion that is in order under the rules. So when the previous question motion was dropped and the senator from the first got up and made a superseding motion, the chair did an absolute correct job in recognizing him to make that motion. Now, it says the previous question does not come under debate, but a motion is not debate. It is actually a superseding act that a senator is entitled to. So, the chair, our lieutenant governor, did precisely the right thing in calling on the senator from the first to allow him to make that motion. Once the point of order is raised, and this goes to your rule change, any senator who seeks recognition shall be recognized, even if it's on a point of order, because it doesn't say the timeliness in which the point of order can be ruled over senators seeking recognition. And then the senator from Newton wanted to think about his ruling, so the proper course would have been to take it under advisement, in which case the bill in front of us would have been laid on the informal calendar, and then we could have brought that bill off of the informal calendar when he was ready to make a ruling, as we've done time and time again for the time that you and I have been in the Senate. But what happened instead was he made a motion to stand at ease, which is a unanimous consent motion, because it's actually not in our rule book, which requires unanimous consent to suspend the rules, which that unanimous consent was objected to by the minority floor leader. At that point in time, we should not have stood at ease. The next possible motion he could have made, according to the U.S. Senate rules, was a motion to recess. A motion to recess being the same as a motion to adjourn would have taken precedence over the motion that was in front of us, which was a previous question motion. So that would have been in order. But then you would have had to say we're recessing to a time certain, and then we would have had to vote on it. Now, that motion was not made. We went into ease without the motion of recess being placed in front of the body, which the senator from the first has filed an objection that that procedure was not followed according to our rules.
Well, even more, when the request was made to stand at ease, it wasn't just the minority floor leader who objected. I also objected very loudly. And I know that the objection was heard, but yet we went ahead and stood at ease anyway. And I'm just asking, are we a Senate of rules? Are we a nation of laws? Do we want our nation to follow our laws? Do we want the Senate to follow its rules? Absolutely we do. When we don't follow our own rules, then we have chaos. And that's what we had Friday.
And that's what happened on Friday.
And not only that, but it is disrespectful of each individual senator when we do not follow our rules. When I stand and I seek recognition to raise a point of order and I am not recognized, that is disrespectful to me. When the minority floor leader objects, and that objection is ignored. Just ignored. To ignore someone is absolutely disrespectful in the Senate. This is not the way that the Senate is supposed to do business.
Well, Senator, I know that for anybody who's listening and those who are having side conversations in this room here, this is fairly mundane, procedurally driven discussion about rules, but it's crucial. It is crucial to the functioning of this body that we recognize when those rules were not followed, because that's what ultimately leads in the breakdown of decorum, and that breakdown in decorum will inevitably lead to the chaos that we saw on Friday.
So I have to ask, when the rules are not followed and the senators are disrespected and they stand and they are demanding to be heard and demanding respect, and then others say, well, the Senate can't get along, they're dysfunctional, they ought to put the blame where the blame belongs. It's not with the senators who are being disrespected and who are demanding that the Senate follow the rules. It's with those who did not follow the rules.
All right, so we've covered two instances where the rules were not followed. Now, my contention is where are we going to go moving forward? Because ultimately, that is what's concerning us. Looking backwards and trying to place blame is not going to get us a better outcome for next time.
Well, I've offered up a rule change to clarify, to make it clear, so that when there are points of order, you won't have senators standing seeking recognition and being ignored. That's a step that would move us forward.
Well, Senator, I will support your rule change. And, you know, I was pretty disheartened on Friday for the events that unfolded the way that they did. And, you know, typically in the past, when a minority in this chamber has been shut down the way that we were on Friday, we come back and all the unanimous consent motions that the floor leader has made today would have been objected to. We would come in with the idea of continuing to reign that type of chaos and obstruction in this chamber. But
it's
we're
not happening.
But we're not. So I want everyone to understand that following the rules, as the rules are written, are very important to the survival and productivity of this chamber going forward.
Well, thank you for your inquiry.
Thank you,
Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan.
To inquire of the Senator from Butler.
What purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Butler.
Senator from Butler, do you yield to the inquiry from the Senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, here we are in special session.
Special time.
Special session called by the governor. This is extraordinary circumstances that we have a steel mill in your district that wants to come into your district. Isn't that extraordinary?
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
Had the governor talked to you about it?
Not that I recollect.
Telling me that we're in a special session to bring a steel mill to your district, and the governor hasn't even talked to you about it?
As far as I remember, that is accurate.
Have you talked to the steel mill?
I have not talked to the steel mill.
Did the steel mill contact you and ask you to offer legislation to bring the steel mill to your district?
They have not.
Really? Do you know the name of the steel mill?
I do not.
You mean to tell me that you're the senator and you don't even know the name of the steel mill, they haven't contacted you, and the governor has not even talked to you about the issue, and yet the governor has called a special session, an extraordinary session, at great expense to the people of Missouri, to pass legislation to bring the steel mill without a name to your district?
That's correct.
How do you feel about that, Senator?
Well, that's not real good communication. That's for sure.
You know, the governor had some pep rallies for this steel mill, and I watched what the news coverage of them was, and I don't remember them ever saying the name of the steel mill.
No. That may not be all that unusual if they have confidential agreements or something like that, but
I did hear the governor, though, however, say that that we're like third graders and that we're career politicians, and that he needed to call all of us career politicians back from our vacations into special session to do this work of getting jobs for this unknown steel mill.
Yeah. Personally, I'm not into character assassination like that. I prefer good communication and making things work, putting deals together myself.
Well, Senator, I have a career.
Yep.
I'm a doctor.
You do?
I wanted to be a doctor since I was very young. And so I went to school. I went to university, and I got my degree in math. And then I went to medical school, and I got my medical degree. And I've been practicing my career of being a doctor for over 30 years. I'm not a career politician. I make, what is it that we make, $35,000 a year?
I think it's about $35,000.
It's not much of a career if that's all you really want to make. I mean, I don't know that you'd make a career out of that.
Well, I look at it as coming up and taking care of business and trying to do what we can that's best for the state. And then you go back to your home. And even when you go back into your district, it's not like you're on vacation. You know, you don't have very many days off. And a lot of senators in this room have other jobs that they need to tend to during the off season. They also, a lot of them have families. A lot of them have young families. There's just a lot going on in your district that a lot of your constituents really would like to have you at. And, you know, like my district is about 180 miles wide and, I don't know, probably 65, 70 miles deep. And I have lots of cities, and I feel an obligation to try to be as many of their community events as I can. And when you're out of session here, I know it's nothing new to those on the floor here, but they expect you to come around and let you know what's going on in their communities and what happened during the session and how's it going to affect them. You know, the schools want to know what's going to affect their schools, and the cities want to know what's going to affect their cities, and the counties, there's just a lot going on. So just because you're not here in this building don't necessarily mean that you're not taking care of the people's business.
That's exactly correct. You know, in the governor's call, there are two parts to the call. The first is to enact legislation authorizing the Public Service Commission to approve a special electricity rate for an aluminum smelting facility, a steelworks facility, or other similar facility that is not based upon the Electrical Corporation's cost of service. And then it goes on. And then there's a second part. And the second part is to enact legislation authorizing the PSC to allow electrical corporations a reasonable opportunity to earn a fair return. And then it goes on. Now I have to ask, if the governor separated the call into two parts, then it has two parts. And do you remember when Representative Roan's bill was on the floor? It dealt with both of those parts. And as you recall, you and the senator from St. Francois, and then the senator from St. Francois and I, talked about that we were opposed to the second part. We didn't speak about it being opposed to the first part.
That's correct.
And yet, did not the governor do robocalls using his secret dark money committee into your district, in fact, to your own home, with the governor's recorded voice?
That's correct.
With the governor's recorded voice saying that you were trying to block jobs.
That's correct.
And is that true?
No, that's not true.
No, it's not true. What you're trying to do was not to block the jobs that would be created by the first part of his own call. What you were trying to do was to protect the people in the service area of the entire service area of the electric utility from having rate increases. And, in fact, the entire state of Missouri.
Undermining the overview and oversight and scrutiny of a monopoly company that has no competition.
Right.
A company that more they spend, the more they earn.
So what do you think of someone who would do robocalls using his secret dark money committee, perhaps even paid for by the electric utilities themselves, which is which is an untruth, it is not true, and then to actually say that you're blocking jobs. How does that make you feel?
Well, I tell you what, I think about a lot of that. Actually, I admire people that have created jobs, that have signed the payroll checks on the front of the checks, is who I admire. I don't admire people talking about how jobs are created. I think the people that's created jobs are the ones that know a little bit about it, and that's the type of people and business people that I admire.
You've
people
that have created jobs, haven't you, Senator?
You know, I have to give credit to my brother. So my brother and I, yeah, we've created hundreds of jobs.
Hundreds of jobs.
That's correct.
Okay, so basically what we've got is we've got a governor who's using his secret dark money committee with money from who knows where the money's coming from. Maybe Russia. Yeah. Maybe Ameren's paying for the ads. Who knows who's paying for the ads? And he's running ads against a sitting senator in his own district, trying to change public policy to put pressure on you to support his agenda. But he won't break the two parts out in his rhetoric. He talks about you're killing jobs when you're not trying to kill jobs. You're just trying to protect everybody from part two, which is the piece for which he got $178,000 in campaign contributions from the electric companies.
Well, we also got to remember the job providers we already have. You know, we have job providers, companies all over the place that don't necessarily want to be seeing their electric bills being unscrutinized by continually trying to diminish the Public Service Commission. And by the way, that's pretty much all we've got to protect us from a monopoly company that absolutely has no competition.
So I've got
it's
to
a
ask,
utility tax is what it is.
I've got to ask, when you have a governor who took $178,000 from electric utilities, and then he calls a special session for the purpose of benefiting the electric utilities, and when you have a governor who took an unknown amount of money from Centene and from other managed care companies and then illegally pushed a managed care expansion, and when you have a governor who took $1.5 million from David Humphreys and then pushed for a bill in his State of the State address that calls for an overhaul of the Merchandising Practices Act, which would benefit the lawsuit by Mr. David Humphreys, the one that he's fighting, or the series of them that he's fighting. And when you have this pattern of behavior and you call the governor out for it, and he says, and I quote, "These are just personal, pitiful, petty political privileges," whatever that means. And he calls it petty politics, calls us third graders, says we're career politicians. How do you feel about that? Because, you know, this governor, he ran on a platform of ethics and of not allowing those who would be self-serving to come to the people's house for their own self-serving interest. As I recall, those were his words in his inaugural.
Well, as far on the career politician, I think calling me a career politician, I'll just speak for myself, I would think that would be rather absurd. Considering that this is my 46th year of being in business, and I'm now 4.5 years into to my Senate position. So as far as the other things that you mentioned, I'm not going to attempt to try to get inside the thought process of the governor on all that other stuff. But I just stand on my own record. My record is that I've been on the side where you sign the front of payroll checks. I've actually created the things that he runs around talking about, created jobs and lots of them and good paying jobs. So,
well, Senator,
you know, I'm not going to attempt to rationalize the things that's been brought against me. And when you put my last name out there, you know, my family, everybody in the Poplar Bluff area that knows my family knows that we're good community people, and it just disparages, and I'm not into character assassination, so therefore I'm not going to assassinate his
character. No, you are not into character assassination, and neither am I. Yeah. But when I see things that have the appearance of impropriety and I point them out, I am not practicing personal petty politics. I am pointing out real concerns that the people of Missouri care about. They care about this. And I guess I hope that the media are listening, because I want the media to know that I'm not here to block this effort. You know, I may disagree with corporate welfare, but I did not come here to block this effort.
Well, I appreciate that.
You know, the effort is, if it's to bring jobs, you know, I understand. I would hate to see all the rate payers have to pay more for their electric rate to subsidize a new business coming. I don't think that's good policy. But, and you know, if it's truly extraordinary, if we have to do this in order to get this business, then at least I can look at it and I can go, there's a good reason for this.
Well, there's really two parts to this, and everybody continually getting it confused. Is one is an economic development rate for the smelter and the steel mill that may be looking to come to that area also. But the second part of it is diminishing the oversight and the scrutiny of the PSC. That is a big problem.
Right. Now, I guess I will say that if it turns out that the road that we go down during this special session leads us to have onto this bill pieces that gut the PSC and their ability to oversee this monopoly utility, because it's the only check and balance that we have to stop the monopoly from unscrupulously overcharging the people of Missouri, I will fight it. I will fight it. I will stand. I will filibuster. I will talk and talk and talk.
You know what we say about that down in my area? The old fox are going to take care of the chickens. It's okay. Trust them.
Well,
the fox will take care of those chickens.
You know, I mean,
just trust us.
Governor, if your real reason is to bring jobs, that's one thing. But Governor, if your real reason is to make more money for the electric companies, that's quite another, and you will have a tiger by the tail.
Yeah, that's
and I'm
gonna,
not
that's
the only
another,
one.
That's going to be another problem.
There are other senators in this room, and I would appreciate it, Governor, if you would stop the childish rhetoric that you are using, being disrespectful of the senators that are here.
Well, we were elected to do a job, and I don't remember him voting for me. I don't remember any of the New Missouri people voting for me. There could have been, but I don't even know who they are, I would guess. So I'm going to do the best job I can for the people out of the 25th district, and that is to look every day trying to find jobs and to develop our area down there economically and also educationally, because that's what's going to get us to the area that we need to be, and that's good family-sustaining jobs and a good place to raise a family.
Thank you for your inquiry, Senator.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Governor, Mr. President.
Is any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 23rd.
Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 23rd, you yield to the inquiry from the senator from the 7th. Senator from the 7th, you may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator, for taking my inquiry. Did you hear the exchange between the senator from Buchanan and the senator from Butler?
I heard some of that exchange, but I know that I've heard, I think I have gotten the gist in that conversation and in other private conversations, what they were talking about, yes.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you, you know, just like the governor, you're also new at this. You would be...
As I'm often reminded, yes, thank you, Senator.
Right. You would be considered to be a conservative outsider, as it were. You're not a career politician yet. Tomorrow you wake up, you will be one. But this
That's
is
a
your
moving
first...
threshold. That's a moving target when you actually make the transition from outsider to career politician.
Listen, if the senator from the 25th, who has owned a nail factory for 40 years as a career politician, then I guess the term career politician, maybe he doesn't know what that means. I'm not sure that...
Well, I can't speak to that, Senator, but I'll tell you, the idea that the senator from the 25th is somehow a career politician after running a successful business in 25 years, he's one of the few members that never served in the House of Representatives, if I'm not mistaken, to me that seems silly. But I can't comment on that, of course.
All right. So I got you up because I wanted to ask you this question. How do you think... Now, the governor stood up on the last day of session and called us all third graders. Said that the Senate, because see, he won't acknowledge the separate but equal branch of government and call us senators. No, he uses derogatory terms in his framing, career politician, to desensitize what he's actually saying. Because if you actually attach someone of the caliber of the senator from the 25th and what he's done with his life, well, then it's not as easy to prosecute that campaign. It's not as easy to wage that campaign against the senator from the 25th if you actually inform people who the senator from the 25th is. So he doesn't inform. He just uses this blanket career politician discussion. So he calls us third graders, says that we were incomplete, and we have to now we're I guess we're in summer school right now. I guess that's what this is, according to his own rhetoric. Having just gotten here, how do you think that's helpful to achieving the legislative and policy goals that the governor is also advocating for? How is that constructive?
Well, certainly that's a great opportunity for me to end up in a newspaper tomorrow right there, Gov. Senator, so thank you very much. I'll say this. I'm generally defensive of all my colleagues, regardless of the party that they're in, because it's been my experience this year to find that everybody has been down here not for personal gain and not for personal advancement, but they're serving in this body because they want to make the state a better place. They want to, and each of us have a different focus, and many of those focuses I disagree with in many occasions. Folks want to pass a prescription drug monitoring program as an example, but their hearts are in the right places. They're here to make the state better, make the state a safer place, make our economy more vibrant. So I think I generally disagree with the idea that in spite of those differences, which has led to a certain amount of excitement on the floor of this body over the past few months, I'm very hesitant for anybody to describe any member of the body as a third grader or as somebody that's here for disingenuous purposes, even and especially those with I disagree with. You and I disagree with almost every issue I can think of, Senator, but I don't question your motives. I don't question your intelligence as an individual. I have respect for every member of the body, and I just, you know, I don't know if you have to limit this question to the activities of the governor so much as, in general, that's not going to make a better playing field for folks to solve problems. And that was one of the main campaign themes I talked about for 2 years.
So why do it? Like, this is why the senator from the 25th said he wasn't going to get into the inner workings of the governor's mind to try to figure out the motivation for this. But as someone who's an Air Force conservative outsider, I wanted to know why disparaging the Senate is going to move you closer to your policy goals. How does that equation work?
Well, that's a question, and I think I'm going to take the same route to a degree that the senator from the 25th has. That's a question you're going to have to ask the governor. The governor has made it clear to me that he values relationships with the Senate. In his words, and even when I've had a disagreement with the governor, we've tried to move beyond that. I think each of us, as an individual human being, have our own, separate style, And sometimes that style is appropriate for certain situations, and sometimes it's not. I know from a military background that more vertical structure, where you do take more of an aggressive stance with someone, is beneficial. So maybe that's where it's coming from. I don't know. You'd really have to ask him. But I've found whenever I've had success as a member of the Senate so far, it has come in taking a more diplomatic tone versus calling folks third graders.
Do you know the name of the steel mill that we're trying to provide an incentive for here?
You're talking about the Naranda?
Not the smelter.
Not the smelter?
Not the smelter, but the steel mill. Do you know the name of the steel mill we're trying to provide?
I don't know off the top of my head, no.
See, we can't find anybody who knows the name of this company that we're here to try to help. And I find that kind of interesting. The senator from the 25th acknowledged that the governor was in his district for separate rallies, and his dark money not-for-profit has been launching attacks and robocalls and other advertisements against the senator from the 25th, but yet he's never spoken to the senator from the 25th about the ends of these policy goals. How would you think that this whole process could be approached differently than how we find ourselves here today?
You're continuing to give me opportunities to succeed here with this line of questions. I would tell you, in the course of this discussion over the past week, I've tried to put myself in the shoes of the senator from the 25th. And clearly, I think the senator from the 25th has some concerns about the legislation associated with this smelter and about utility reform in general. And I think if I were in his shoes and I felt passionately about something that directly affected my district and the constituents and the rest of the state, and yet there was legislation being carried by other members, and I was being told that this is good or this is bad, that would be tough for me. That really would be tough for me. And that's why I'm very defensive about the idea of anything that makes this personal. And when I hear some of the comments that have been made by certain members of the other chamber, when I see some of the message that's being put out by the governor, whether it's his C4 organization or not, it's difficult for me to envision how that's helpful, because everything that I've seen in this body, in this building, revolves around relationships. And I have identified an appetite for other colleagues in this chamber for a better relationship with the governor, and I don't know if I would take the same route. I don't know if I'd take the same route.
Well, Senator, we're getting ready to move on to the legislation at hand that we've deemed extraordinary. And the only reason why I think that this is potentially extraordinary is because it fits in the same silo of other economic development calls that we've had, where we had Bombardier and Boeing and Ford. But in those instances, we had a clear company that was at the table, that was sitting down saying, here's the number of jobs, this is the incentives that we want, and if the General Assembly will take this action, then this will happen, or in Bombardier's case, then you stay in the running for this to happen. We ended up not getting that project when it was all said and done. But this time here, we can't get the information from the folks who are asking for our help to try to figure out what help they need. What is the best course? All we know is that they want a reduced rate, and they want the other ratepayers to subsidize that rate. And that is something that we're going to talk about over the course of the next couple days that we have this discussion. But before we got to the meat and potatoes of what we've been asked to do, I wanted to point out, and I wanted to say for the record, that when the executive branch calls the legislative branch third graders, it is not helpful. It does not engender the members of this chamber to want to go out of their way to try and make this governor successful. So my message to the governor would be, if you want to have a partner in the legislature to help you move an agenda forward that you believe is in the best interest of Missourians, then work with us on doing that and stop the campaigning. Stop the campaigning in the district of the 25th without even having talked to him about the policy that you want to see as the outcome. He may have been your best supporter. He may be on this floor carrying this bill. But you don't know because you haven't taken the time to ask him. Instead, you want to disparage his character to his friends and family at home and disparage this chamber by calling us third graders because you want to score political points in a non-ending campaign, and I think it's time for it to stop. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
Of the senator from Franklin.
Senator from Franklin. Senator from Franklin, do you yield to the inquiry from the senator from the first?
I do.
Senator from the first, you may proceed.
All right, so we are here in extraordinary session, and the call talks about incentives for an aluminum smelting facility in southeast Missouri, right?
That's correct.
All right, so I just heard the senator from Butler say he does not know the name of the company that is seeking to come to the Boot Heel with these jobs. Do you know the name of the company that is seeking to come into Missouri with these purported jobs?
I do not.
Okay, well, that's all I had for you, Senator. Thank you.
Thank
Mr.
you.
President.
Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire the senator from St. Francis?
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the first?
Yes, Mr. President.
Senator from the first, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, do you know the name of the company that is purportedly looking to bring some jobs to our state in connection with this special session?
No, I do not, and I have gone so far as to call the Department of Economic Development Monday of last week, had to follow up with a phone call on Thursday because I had not got a response.
Senate will come to order. Senate will come to order so the senators can hear one another in debate. Senators, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I see the senator from the 17th heading toward the side. I hope he doesn't get too far away. I'm sorry. Senator, go ahead.
Well, as I was saying, that I made contact with the Department of Economic Development, and finally Friday I received a call back. There is no public record of any steel mill that's made an application with this state through the Department of Economic Development.
Well, but did they know who's apparently talking about coming to our state?
They do not have a record, no.
The Department of Economic Development does not have a record of who we're talking about in this extraordinary session.
That's my understanding.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the first.
May I inquire the senator from Barton?
Senator from Barton?
Oh, sorry.
Senator from Barton, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the first?
I do yield.
Senator from the first, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I heard you say this was bad timing. The good news is I have a hunch this is going to be a very short inquiry. Senator, do you know the name of the company that's talking about bringing jobs here to Missouri?
I do not. It is my understanding that that is the kind of information that will likely not be released.
That will not likely not be released?
Not be released. You understand, Senator, how, you know, anytime a large corporation goes into an area, they typically try to keep it very close to the vest. I've had a couple of companies that were foreign-owned companies. We eventually learned that were trying to move into Cass County, one of the counties I represent.
Right.
And they still don't have any idea who it was. They eventually picked somewhere else, went actually out of the country. But they entertained them. They came in. They used assumed names. They didn't even use their own names when they toured. I mean, the secrecy that was involved there was extraordinary.
Sure. Well, okay. Let me just draw a quick point of contrast. And I'm sorry, this inquiry is already going longer than I meant for it to. But take Bombardier. And you were in the building for that, right?
Right.
Foreign company. They did, like, defense work, right?
Right.
Pretty sensitive stuff. And they walked in the front door. They said, hi, we're Bombardier. Here's the incentive package we want. And we did that, right?
Right.
All right. And
Some of us didn't support it, but we did it.
What's that?
Some of us didn't support it.
And I respect that, Senator. Boeing, same thing with the 777
same
wing.
Thing, right.
Ford and
right.
Clay
Those
Comer.
Those were, of course, existing plants.
Yeah.
We're talking about upgrade, you know, and growth.
Yeah. But in all those cases, we knew who we were doing it for.
Pardon?
In all those cases, we knew who the company was that was
right.
talking about coming.
Right.
People had a chance to vet that company. So, all right. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of the senator from Cole?
Senator from Cole. Senator from Cole, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the first?
I do.
Senator from the first, you may proceed.
Senator, taking as true what the senator from Barton just told me that it's not going to be released, I'm guessing I might know your answer to this question, but do you know the name of the company that is purportedly looking to get some incentives to come to Missouri here in connection with this extraordinary session?
I do not.
I understand that. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire the senator from the 13th?
Senator from the 13th, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 1st?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
So, same question?
I don't.
Same answer?
Same answer.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Mr.
You're
President?
Welcome.
Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire the senator from Clay?
Senator from Clay, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 1st?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, you're chair of the Commerce Committee, are you not?
That is correct.
And we anticipate that your committee might be hearing some of this legislation. I don't know if it'll be paragraph one of the call or two of the call.
Whatever gets referred.
Got it. I understand. Do you know anything about this company?
So I don't, but let me give you, and this may clarify a little bit.
Sure.
I was told today from, this wasn't direct contact, this is apparently coming from someone in the governor's office.
Got it.
That it is a closed record via a confidentiality agreement.
Okay. That the state of Missouri entered into?
Apparently in trying to bring this company.
Yeah. All right.
That's the best I got. I don't know who the company is. I've tried to find out. I've asked.
Well, fair enough. I'm not going to take any more of the body's time on this at this point. We'll see what the legislation forthcoming will hold, and we'll take it as it comes. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senator will go to the order of business of introduction of guests.
Introduction of guests. Oh, I'm sorry. Hearing no objections, the Senate will go to the order of business of introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Hearing none, Senator from Cole. Oh, I'm sorry. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills.
Mr. President.
Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on behalf of the senator from Cape Girardeau County, I have a bill.
Please
no explanation is needed.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill No. 1, introduced by Senators Wallingford, Emery, Richard. Et al. An act relating to rate making for electrical corporations.
Introduction of bill, Senator from St. Francis, what purpose do you rise? Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill No. 2. Introduced by Senators Romine and Libla, an act relating to rate making for electrical corporations.
Mr. Senator from St. Francis, do you care to explain your bill?
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. This is very similar to the bill that was just presented prior to this one. The difference is that it does prohibit the rate to be below the incremental cost of the utility company. And it also, if there's a significant change, economic change or whatever, that it does allow the PSC to reevaluate and relook at the special rate. With that, Mr. President, thank you.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three bills. I'd like to send them up one at a time.
Please send your bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill. All right, Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 3, introduced by Senator Schaaf, an act relating to lobbyists.
Senator, do you care to explain your bill?
I do, Mr. President. The bill that I just sent forward would be a total gift ban, which the people of Missouri want, and which the governor of Missouri campaigned on and has said that he considers one of his top priorities. In fact, the governor actually said that he considers calling us into special session in order to pass a gift ban. Well, governor, you can save the taxpayers a bunch of money by expanding your call, as you said in your proclamation. Number 3, such additional and other matters as may be recommended by the governor by special message to the General Assembly after it shall have been convened. So since I've already introduced the bill, governor, if you're going to call a special session for a gift ban, please just go ahead and extend this one and get this job done now. And I've got the bill introduced, and you can save the taxpayers a bunch of money. And if you don't expand your call, please don't call us into another special session, which would be a waste of our time, given that you have the opportunity to do it now. Mr. President, I have another bill.
Senator, send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 4, introduced by Senator Schaaf, an act relating to the waiting period before certain public officials can become lobbyists.
Senator, do you care to explain your bill?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. This is the revolving door ban. This is the bill that the governor said was one of his top priorities. And so I'm introducing it just in case he expands that call, then it'll be there. And I want to say, once again, that if the governor doesn't expand the call and enact a real revolving door ban of 2 years, then later on he calls a special session for us to take this up, it would be a big waste of money, given that he's got the opportunity to do it now. And Mr. President, I have a third bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 5, introduced by Senator Schaaf, an act relating to financial disclosure under campaign finance laws.
Senator, do you care to explain your bill?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. This bill would enact a dark money ban, which doesn't mean that he can't receive money, but it would mean that the governor would have to disclose the donors that are giving to his dark money committee that are running ads in the senator from Butler's district, telling people that he is blocking jobs when he really isn't blocking jobs. And I think the people of Missouri would want to know who's paying for those ads. Is it Ameren? Is it Kansas City Power and Light? Is it Empire District Electric? Who exactly is paying for the ads to run in the Senator from Butler's district and the Senator from St. Francois' district? So while the governor has never said that this is one of his top priorities, I think the people of Missouri want him to expand his call and pass this important piece of legislation, which the people of Missouri want, so that we can know who's paying for the ads that the governor's running against the members of our chamber. Thank you, Mr. President.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Barton.
President, I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 6, introduced by Senator Emery et al., an act relating to rate making for electrical corporations.
Senator, do you care to explain your bill?
Just briefly, Mr. President, for senators that were here for the debate on the bill, I think it was House Bill 302, carried by the senator from Jefferson, the language in this bill is intended to reflect that same language. So it has been before the body before. Hopefully there will be some familiarity there with the body, and that's the language that is intended to be in this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
All right. Introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Hearing none. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, I have an announcement. Just for the benefit of the body, my adjournment motion will be till Wednesday, May 24th at 2 p.m. It will be a technical session. There will be no business conducted, so members they're welcome to be here as always, but they don't have to be here. We'll simply be second reading the Senate bill and hopefully at some time that afternoon receiving potentially a bill from the House. That is the reasoning behind that. And the next time we will convene where there will be a roll call called will be at 11 a.m. on Thursday.
Announcements. Announcements. Hearing none. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 2 p.m. Wednesday, May 24th.
Senator from Cole moves that the Senate stand adjourned until 2 p.m. Wednesday, May the 24th, 2017. All those in favor of that motion say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned until 2 p.m. Wednesday, May the 24th, 2017.